Hey, I want to again say thank you for joining us. I want you to know how grateful I am, how grateful we are that you have tuned in to join us for worship this morning. We are ecstatic that God is using us in a positive way to encourage and support your journey of faith. I want you to know, friends, you are important to us, and we are here for you. Now, this Sunday, we are on our third and last sermon from the sermon suggestion box. We will resume with sermons from the sermon suggestion box after Easter. So, if you're watching this morning, and even though we are going to suspend sermons from the sermon suggestion box until after Easter, if you have a topic, a theological concept, or maybe a passage of scriptures you've never heard preached on before and would like to hear them preached on, or maybe you have and you want someone else's opinion, please send me an email or list in the comments below your sermon suggestion, and I will respond to you. The online pastor will respond to you, depending on which platform you use to contact us. And I'll also let you know the week prior to me preaching on your sermon suggestion. Friends, I also want to remind you before we get into our sermon that this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we will have a special worship service at 6 p.m. on Wednesday on Facebook Live. So I hope that you'll make plans to join us for this special service. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about a topic, we're going to talk about the topic of angels. Excuse me. Now, each week, usually what I do is I post quotes and pictures of quotes on my personal Facebook page and on the church's Facebook page to kind of help set the tone for our time of worship, because those posts are always leading up to and supporting our sermon topic or our sermon theme. But this week I did something that I've never done before. I posted a question to my personal Facebook page asking if people believed in angels. And I want to let you know, I was overwhelmed by the number of you who responded. And I am pleasantly surprised to say that everyone who did respond says that they do believe in angels. But have you ever wondered why God made angels? I mean, that's what our contributor wondered. In fact, the sermon suggestion I received reads exactly this way. Why did God originally make angels to worship Him? Question mark. Then it went, dot, 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 not ego. Now, for the record, I too believe in angels because the Bible says they are real, right? I mean, that's good enough for me. But I must confess, I do not usually think about their roles or give them much of my attention. So today, I hope we are enlightened through our sermon time. I hope we all are enlightened through our sermon time. I also hope we will all grow to appreciate what the angels of the Lord do on our behalf. I do want to state that what I gleaned from my in preparation for this sermon time was enriching and a source of encouragement. And I hope that it is for you as well. Now, I do want to thank our contributor this morning for the inquiry. And I must say that this is a question that Scripture does not answer specifically. Yet during my time of study, I found many passages of Scriptures that help support describing what angels do, so on and so forth. But I found one passage of Scripture that seemed to be, at least for me, the best source in helping to answer our sermon suggestion question. And that passage is found in the book of Hebrews. So I'm going to ask that Chris, if he would, to place our verses on the screen. And I want to invite all of you to join me where it reads in verse 1 saying, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things. Through Him also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "Well, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son"? And again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "But all God's angels worship Him." Of the angels, He says, He makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a short prayer. Holy God, I do ask this morning that You will illuminate Your word in our hearts today. And God, that You will enlighten us with some new, maybe new head knowledge or renewed head knowledge about the host of heaven and all that they do on our behalf. So Lord, I ask that You use my humble efforts this morning, that Your Spirit will speak through me, and that this message will be a blessing for all who hear. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, friends, I think it's very relevant to point out this morning that this passage of Scripture is proclaiming very clearly that angels are made to worship Jesus, the Savior of the world. And I highlight that because that reassures what you and I have read in the book of Revelation, where it tells us not to worship angels nor to seek them out. Yet we cannot dismiss the significance of their godly roles and their examples. You see, one example we see of the angels is recorded in the book of Job. And it states very clearly that the angels sang and shouted for joy when God laid the foundations of the earth. You can read about that in Job 38. So you see, if there were no angels, the kingdom of God would be void of all the things we associate with joy. Things like singing, laughter, excitement, and praise. But the fact that the angels worship the Trinity is something I believe our contributor already knows and understands, evident by the wording of the question. Now, with me acknowledging or assuming, as dangerous as that might be, I am correctly understanding the depth of our contributor's question. This demanded of me to move from simply acknowledging the concept of the passage we just read to the intentional wording used by the author in crafting our text. You see, I find it interesting that our author wanted to share that angels are spirits. I must admit, in the beginning, or on the surface, this didn't seem very significant. But as I begin to dig deeper and prayerfully reflect upon the words that I just read, I think it's important to mention that the spirits, particularly the spirits who worship God, that simple word offers us some great insight. You see, on this side of heaven, angels are the only creatures of creation that can worship God in absolute purity. This is an aspect of the heavenly realm that humanity cannot achieve, much less fathom. We are reassured that because they are a spirit, that they are pure. And we see the example of that purity in the book of Isaiah over in chapter 6. Whenever the prophet had to confess that he was a sinner who needed to be purged of all the vileness of his tongue. And if you read that passage of scriptures, you'll see that the angels touched Isaiah's lips with a burning coal to purge him of all things unloving and purify him to the ministry of prophecy. Now listen, I know that it seems that I'm bouncing, and I don't seem, I am. I'm bouncing all over the place. But I'm doing so because I'm wanting to highlight the significance of why these angelic encounters are able to help us see that the angels of the Lord, not the fallen angels, but that the angels of the Lord are pure in spirit. And because of them being pure and spirit, the nature of these creatures affords them the privilege of physically approaching the face of God. So, my answer to the question, why did God create angels to worship him, is this. Because our God is a God of community. These essential beings were in fellowship with God before the creation of humanity and are still in fellowship with God, attending to the kingdom of heaven. Now, while you and I are to attend to the physical attributes of the kingdom of God here on earth, you see, the angels of the Lord are attending to the spiritual attributes of the kingdom of God until we can all share in Christ's resurrection. Now, I know and I can appreciate the opinions that my analysis seems too elementary. But the things I have said, I say with confidence due to the fact that our author uses other intentional wording within our scripture, especially the wording and the last phrase of verse 7 where it says about the angels that they are his ministers, flame of fire. Now the phrase speaks to the fact that angels are not made to appease God's ego, but rather to serve God in all the way that God commands. It is in these servant roles that I was encouraged, and I want to share them with you this morning. You see, one of the chief roles of angels is to minister to all who are heirs of salvation. And within this work, they are swift, potent, and specific in perpetuating the will of God. These creatures are assigned to comfort us, to protect us, to patiently assist us in seeing the bigger picture of life, and to nurture our journey of faith. One of the greatest stories recorded in contemporary times that I've ever read that reflect the fullness of how angels work on our behalf is recorded in the life of a missionary by the name of Reverend John G. Patton. Now, the story is shared that as he served as a missionary in the new Hebrides Islands, hostiles surrounded his mission headquarters one night with the intent of not only burning the Pattons out, but also killing them. The story goes that Mr. Patton, Reverend Patton, and his wife spent that whole night in prayer, not allowing the terror-filled activities to supersede the practice of their faith. And when daylight came, they said they were amazed to find that their attackers unaccountably left. And of course, they thanked God for delivering them. Now, here's the irony. 1 year later, the chief of that same tribe was converted to Christianity. He gave his life and heart to Jesus Christ. And Mr. Patton, remembering that night, asked the chief what kept him and his men from burning down their headquarters and killing he and his wife. And the chief replied in surprise by saying, "Well, who were all those men you had with you?" And Missionary Patton responded, "There were no men here, just me and my wife." The chief argued that they had seen many men standing guard, hundreds of big men in shiny garments with drawn swords in their hands. And they seemed to circle the whole mission so that the natives were too fearful to attack. I love this story because it's recorded to be a true story. And it clearly is a story that depicts the extremes the angels of the Lord are commanded to go to care for believers' best interests. Now, I hope that through all of this, I've not left you the impression that angels only come in one form, because in truth, they come in many forms. Sometimes they're permitted by God to assume a visible form, but most of the time, they are invisible. And that phrase, flames of fire, is linked to Psalm 104, verse 4, distinguishing that the invisible presence of angels is as certain as the wind. You see, our author wanted readers of his day and the readers of today to know that angels are constantly present in the economy of nature, reflecting the mystery and the majesty of our God. That is why we are instructed in Hebrews 13, 2, to always show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, we may be showing hospitality to angels without knowing it. So remember, friends, angels are our examples of how to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. May each of us desire to live as the angels live, laboring to do Jesus' will on earth as the angels do in heaven. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.